Greetings. My name is Dr. Kendall Brown. Welcome to the Math is Mathing podcast. And today, what we're going to be talking about is the need to redefine and reorient mathematics to and for the African descended community. For too many people in our community, they have a very negative view of mathematics. And a lot of the reason for that is because so many people only associate mathematics with their school experiences and what happened in school. They don't understand the many and varied ways that they are engaging in mathematics on a regular and a daily basis. And schools don't do a good job of showing all students in general, but African students in particular, those connections to the real world. For example, I mean, the most common way that, you know, people use mathematics on a daily basis is any kind of financial interactions that they engage in. If you have to go shopping, if you have to pay bills, if you're a working person and you have to think about how many hours that you worked, what your hourly wage is, what your salary is going to be after taxes have been deducted. And then you have to think about how you're going to allocate that money to pay your rent, your house note, your utilities, your food, whatever other expenses that you have. All of that is mathematics. And those are things that people do on a daily basis. In fact, I and, you know, other scholars and African-centered scholars in mathematics say that mathematics is a human activity, right? Mathematics was invented by humans to help make sense of their world. So all people all over the world, regardless of what language they speak, what culture they come from, engage in mathematical thinking and reasoning all day, every day. So I just gave you one example of what that looks like. But then when you think about the different kinds of games that we play, and think too, you know, the kinds of activities that you might engage in with your family, whether you play cards or dice or dominoes, those are all games that require mathematical reasoning, mathematical thinking. In fact, I can remember as a young child playing dominoes with some of the older Black men in my neighborhood, and they could tell you what dominoes that you had left in your hand based upon the moves that had been made and what dominoes had been played. And that used to always intrigue me, right? But that was very much mathematical thinking. So one of the things that I feel is really important for us to do is to help people, but particularly Black people, recognize the kinds of ways that they are using and doing mathematics on a regular basis, and how that then translates or connects to what their visions and thinking of mathematics, which again is usually based upon what happened in school. Now, I want to share with you an image that shows the results from the California Assessment for Student Progress. And this is a standardized test that all students in the state of California in grades 3, 8, and 11 have to take in order for the schools to assess how well their mathematical problem, their mathematical instruction is going. So give me a second. All right. So now, if you take a look at this table, it has all of the different, on the very left-hand column of the table, you'll see the different groups, and these are all of the different racial and ethnic groups. And then they have some different categories that look at socioeconomic status, language ability, and intellectual ability, right? But if you look at all of the different racial and ethnic groups, You should be able to see that. And again, so what does a score mean? If we look at the rightmost column, year 2022, if we look at American Indian or Alaskan Native, you'll see there's a 21. And what that means is that 21% of the American Indian or Alaskan Native students who took this assessment score met or exceeded the standards, met or exceeded the standards, right? And so if you take a look at Asian students, right, you'll see 69% of the Asian students who took the tests met or exceeded the standards. But then when you look at the following column, you'll see only 16% of the African American students who took the test scored proficient or met or exceeded the standards, right? And if you notice, in terms of racial and ethnic groups, African American students scored lower than any other racial or ethnic group. You have to understand a lot of these groups have migrated to the United States and had to learn English as a second language, yet all of these groups are outperforming Black or African American students. And if you look at some of the other characteristics, the only groups that are scoring lower than African American, Black or African American students are students who are learning English, students that have intellectual disabilities, and students who are in foster care. And a lot of these categories can overlap. So you might have African American students who are English, well, Afri students of African descent who are English learners, students of African descent who have intellectual disabilities, and in fact, were oftentimes overrepresented in those categories. And then lastly, foster youth. Again, we're overrepresented in that category as foster youth as well. So we then have to begin to ask the question, what's going on here, right? A organization called the National Council of Supervisors of Mathematics and an organization called Todos Mathematics for All put out a joint position statement back in 2016 on teaching math for social justice. And what they talked about were three things that have to happen if we're going to teach for social justice and mathematics. One, we have to acknowledge that there's a problem. And so looking at that data, we have to acknowledge that there's a problem, right? And that problem is the underperformance of African students of African descent in mathematics. Once you've acknowledged it, then you have to take some kind of action. So, what kind of action are we going to take based upon this information? And then the final piece is accountability. Somebody has to be there to hold people accountable for the outcomes that, for the actions that they take, right? And so when we think about what is it that we can do to start making a difference for African American students in schools, well, you know, there are a lot of reasons why those scores are the way that they are. First of all, our schools are as segregated as they have ever been, meaning, for the most part, low-income students of color tend to go to school in communities that in which they're isolated from affluent and well-to-do students. And what ends up happening is that the schools where low-income students of color go to school tend to have the least resources, the least qualified teachers. And that then is shared with you. But in contrast, the more affluent schools have the resources, have the qualified teachers, and you know, here hence you get the results. In fact, for years, sociologists, psychologists have been made it very clear that these test scores that I just showed you correlate very closely to income. The higher your income is, the higher your test scores are going to be. The lower your income is, the lower your test scores are going to be. And of course, those are impacted by some of the issues that I just raised. And in fact, I know of a middle school in an economically impacted area in Southern California where none of the math teachers are permanent teachers. They are all long-term substitutes, meaning they can only be there a certain period of time, then they have to be replaced by another teacher. So students may have 3 to 4 teachers over the course of a school year. There's no guarantee that they even have a math credential or a math background. So it could be for 3 years in a row in middle school, these children's educational background has been completely interrupted because of the system in which they're going to school. And that is not something that is new. That's something that's happened generation over generation over generation. And so then you have their parents who've had a similar experience, who have these negative feelings about mathematics that tend to get passed down, right? And so then they tell their children, hey, I was never really good at mathematics. I've done okay, so it's okay if you're not good in mathematics. And then that simply gets perpetuated over and over and over and over again. So what are we going to have to do in order to remedy this situation? Number of things have to happen, but one of the things that I have worked on over the course of my career in education is what does it mean to teach students, particularly of African descent, in a way that validates who they are as people, their history, and their culture. So I am the co-author of a book that's entitled Choosing to See, A Framework for Equity in the Math Classroom. And the book is based upon the ICU Care Equity Framework that was developed by my co-author, Dr. Pamela Seda, as part of her dissertation research. And the ICU Care Equity Framework is a list of 7 principles that, if teachers implement in their classrooms, they will make their classrooms more equitable for all students, right? And the 7 principles are include others as experts. That means to create classroom environments that extend beyond the teacher as the sole authority to develop competence and confidence in others as experts, including the students themselves. Our students come to our classrooms with a lot of experiences and engaging in these mathematical types of activities in their own communities that we can build upon to make connections to the curriculum that we're trying to teach. But we have to step out of the way sometimes and really allow their expertise to shine. So that's what that principle is talking about. Second principle is be critically conscious. That means to take the time to understand how negative stereotypes impact your students and actively work to erase the effects of those negative stereotypes on the educational outcomes of diverse learners. So, there are stereotypes. We all live with stereotypes, but when we're talking specifically about mathematics and mathematics education, there are stereotypes about who is and is not good at mathematics. And those stereotypes often fall along racial and gender lines, meaning, white men, Asian men are smarter in math, and that Black people and women in general are not smart in mathematics, right? And it's important that we understand that these stereotypes exist and they are out there, but we have to do everything that we can to work against those stereotypes and think about what and try to mitigate their impact on the students that we're working with. The next principle is understand your students well, and that means to learn about your students, their families, their communities for the purposes of improving instruction and to not make assumptions, right? And so that's, again, really taking the time to know who your students are as people, what kinds of activities do they engage in outside of school that you might be able to make connections to in terms of the mathematics. They might play a musical instrument. There are many connections between music and mathematics. They might play in some sports. There's a lot of statistics and data that can be generated from sports. So whatever it is that students are interested in, if you understand them well and know, then you're able to make those connections to what it is that you're teaching that will then have a positive impact on their ability to learn the subject because they will be able to see themselves in the curriculum. The next principle is understand is to use culturally relevant curricula, and that means to use instructional materials in ways that help students see themselves as doers of mathematics and help them to overcome the stereotypes and messages regarding who is and is not mathematically smart. And so we talk about this whole idea of mirrors and windows, that the curriculum should be a mirror. A student should be able to see themselves reflected back in the curriculum. Right. And so what that means in terms of mathematics is taking the time to make sure that we talk about the origins of mathematics and that mathematics, the oldest mathematical artifacts come from Africa. We know that African cultures and civilizations developed a lot of the mathematics that we use today, and that even what we would consider the least evolved culture in mathematics, even in those cultures in Africa, even in those cultures, in their own languages, they have mathematical words and number systems that we can make connections to, right? And then this whole idea of windows, that mathematics should be a window for people to understand other cultures and to understand the world, right? So in addition to learning about, you know, European mathematics or African mathematics, we should learn about Asian mathematics, Indigenous American mathematics, so that we then can have a better understanding of the world, right? The next principle is assess, activate, and build on prior knowledge. And that means to value the prior knowledge that students bring to the classroom, both personal and cultural, and use that knowledge as a resource for creating new knowledge. You know, we really reject this whole idea of the tabula rasa, that students come to us as a blank slate. On the contrary, students are coming to us with a wealth of experiences, both cultural and more general and universal, that we, again, need to take the time to understand so we can make connections to and build upon, right? As opposed to these deficit perspectives where we think that, well, all we focus on is what the students don't know, or that they don't understand this concept, or they have a gap in their knowledge on this with this particular concept. Instead of saying, hey, look at all the things that the students know and understand that I can make connections to and build on. The next principle is release control. That means to empower your students to take ownership of their own learning by focusing on sense making and allowing them to make choices about things that are important to them in the math classroom. So often the math classroom has been about the teacher standing at the front of the room, imparting the knowledge to the students, and the students sitting there as passive learners, absorbing everything the teacher says, taking notes, mimicking the teacher, opposed to really standing back and allowing students to grapple with rich mathematical ideas and to investigate different kinds of mathematical tasks and explore their world using mathematics. But it's really about stepping back and giving students the freedom to make choices about things studying things that are important to them in the math classroom. And then the final piece is expect more. That means to hold high expectations for students and avoid deficit views of diverse learners, right? And I think that's one of the biggest challenges and the reasons for some of the results that I shared with you earlier is that just the low expectations that many teachers have of African-American students and African-American communities. They don't think that they are bringing anything to the classroom or to the learning environment that they can then help them improve, right? And, you know, students are capable of so much more than we give them credit for. And when we step back, and when we give them something authentic to engage in, that they're interested in, I mean, then we're going to see what they're capable of. I mean, there's been a huge push over the last 15, 20 years to engage students in social justice mathematics activities by having them explore issues like police brutality or redlining or any one of the issues that are important to them in their community. In fact, I worked with a teacher a few years ago with students to do a lesson about reparations and what would it mean for them, how would we calculate reparations for descendants of enslaved Africans, how should it be applied? And because it was something that the students were interested in, I mean, they were totally engaged in the activity, and they really took it to a level that we weren't expecting, because we really gave them freedom to come up with a final project to talk about their findings and talk about what their recommendations were. And students did all kind of things, from artwork to videos to slideshow presentations. So when you really show students that you believe in them and that they're capable of performing at a high level, they will perform to your level of expectation. So, you know, these are just some of the ideas that, you know, I've been thinking about in relationship to this whole idea of reorienting and redefining mathematics to and for the African community.